it's all for you.
I can't deny it. Without you, I won't make it through. Yeah, 'cause I see you, you see me more than what these people see. You look like the worst in me and still love me.
Still love me.
You can change the night today, make my problems fade away, fix the mess that I have made.
Yeah, it's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake. We back at it again, man. Yeah, like I said, we told y'all when we got off that we was going to hit up some of this NBA talk. We don't really talk a lot of NBA. We do as the season progress. But I will say this, bro. It looks like, I don't know if you got to catch any games really this so far. Bro, old buddy from the Clippers, Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched highlights of three or four of his most recent games. Bro, it looked like he did a lot of offseason work. That boy, like, he rounded that game out real nice, bro.
So is he hitting the 15, 17 footer now?
Yeah, man, he hitting at the top of the key. He dropped a couple top of the keys on him last night. And he got a good little hook going on. So he expanded his repertoire down low. He was looking real smooth. I tell you this, they only showed like two out of all the highlights. They showed maybe five highlights of him, five or six. Only two of them were dunks. So that's saying a lot for him.
Yeah, that's tremendous for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's, you know, Doc there now. So I don't know if, you know, that's you could attribute that to Doc's work with him or like I said, if he really, you know, hired somebody in the offseason to help him refine that game. But he was looking pretty good.
You know, he got that little commercial out. I don't know what the commercial's for, but you know, in the commercial, he says that his college coach told him that he needs to fall in love with the process of becoming great, or something like that.
That sounds good.
Yeah, man.
Man, that sounds good. Fall in love with the process of becoming great. Wow.
I think you got your next sermon.
Boy, that'll preach there, boy.
I think you got your next sermon.
That thing will preach there, boy. God, I like that. I like that, brother. I like everything that's standing for right now. Yeah. Well, he does, man. I don't know if he done fell in love with it or not, but he sure dating it hard.
he engaged to it.
He engaged, boy, because, I mean, really, man, his game looked good. So I've been intending to catch some of the games, you know, try to watch. I don't think I've yet to watch a full NBA game all season. But, you know, we taping, y'all don't know this, we taping here, it's Saturday night, and I seen they got two NBAs back-to-back tomorrow, starting at 12:30 and I think 3:30 or something. Mm-hmm. So I think I may sit back and just watch a little bit of NBA tomorrow.
Lately I find myself in watching more college basketball than NBA basketball. I mean, you know, the NBA game, it's so 101.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about it the last time we were on, and he's still, Kevin Durant, he's still having, you know, it's not like a little streak. It's just what he's doing. It ain't like he has four or five good games. No, this is just him.
When he shows up, he gonna drop that on you.
Yes. it's so one-on-one. You know, when you have a player like Kevin Durant, hey, let him do his thing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's not the truth. I'm saying this. It's not the true essence of basketball. But anybody that know me, you know, they know I play basketball, but, right, you know, I'm a football player. You know, we this is a heavy, heavy football show. More so college than pro, but it's a heavy football show.
Right.
So, you know, listeners, just hear out what I'm saying. it just seems like with the college game, it's
fundamentals of basketball.
Yeah, it's just more team, it's more passing. You know, in the pros, because, you know, most teams play one-on-one defense.
Yeah.
You know, just in the last 5 years, they brought in the zone in pro. So it's just like, okay, Kevin Durant, I'm going to give you the ball. LeBron James, I'm going to give you the ball. Carmelo Anthony, I'm going to give you the ball. And y'all just do what y'all do. And the Knicks, I can't, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. I can't stand watching the Knicks because all they do is get a ball to Carmelo, and it's one-on-one the whole time.
And Big Drake, well, saying that, I'm sorry. I'm not going to finish it, though. I don't want you to lose.
No, go ahead.
Dude,
go ahead.
I'm with you. So they're talking all this hype, talking about Carmelo may leave and all. See, so,
yeah,
I mean, dude, oh my God. And I have to wonder, because, you know, you watch stuff like that, you be like, well, why are they just watching? But I have to wonder if that's not how he wants it. Because it appears that he's happy with it. He's not happy that he's losing. And for some reason, he can't make the connection that the reason why you're losing is because you want the ball and you don't want anybody else to have the ball. But, I mean, it's like...
You got to get your teammates involved. You know that was Jordan's little thing when he first got in the league. He wanted to take every shot.
Exactly.
But once he started getting his teammates involved, that's when he started winning the championship.
Right. I mean, it's crazy, dog. And like you said, you know, what, there was one or two, maybe three, two or three of the championships, the last shot wasn't made by Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the Steve Kerr deep on the corner. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got the memorable last championship that Jordan made that shot. And that's not to say, you know, not to diminish Jordan's importance throughout the series or what he was. But he truly became to become the essence of Michael Jordan when he started to truly understand that the game was bigger than him. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he needed help.
Yeah, yeah.
But not that, oh, I don't want help. No, you need help.
Because originally I thought, I was under the impression they got Carmelo all these expensive showpieces, but they ain't helping. But when you watch them, you be like, no, that's the play call. Get him out of Carmelo and stand around the wing. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
And I don't know if I see his face, but I can't recall the head coach name. I don't know if he's not a strong enough personality or a good enough coach to say, you know what, we're going to start incorporating some team ball and we're going to play team ball. We're going to want some other set plays for other players. But, I mean, every time, and don't let the game be close.
Everybody down the court coming down, no getting the ball.
Yeah, and it's, they're not even running plays for them. Well, okay, we set a pick, we set this pick, we pass, and then it gets to Carmelo for a wide-open shot. Or it's just like, okay, as soon as you can, get the ball to Carmelo and everybody clear out the way.
To me, when you watch it, you wonder, are they playing at Madison Square or Rutgers? Because it looked like every night they're playing at Rutgers.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, oh, Carmelo here, yeah. Now let's see what do people. No, dog, I come to watch the Knicks win.
Yeah.
Woodson, Coach Woodson is that coach name.
Yeah,
But, you know, they haven't had a strong coach. I ain't saying good. They haven't had a strong coach since Pat Riley.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, didn't you have both the Gundys? Didn't both the Gundys coach there?
No. Just a skinny one.
The fat one coached at just Miami at the Magic, right?
Yeah, Miami and the Magic. But, you know, Jeff Gundy, he wasn't bad because you got to realize he had Latrell Sprewell on his team.
Again.
He was able to keep him in check. Because, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Latrell didn't go to the Knicks that after the choking incident.
Yeah, he choked out the other coaches, the reason why he wasn't there.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So, did Jeff keep him in check, or was Jeff scared? Well,
I think Jeff kept him in check. And then, you know, he had Xavier, is it Daniels, was that thing? Xavier
the
Daniels?
X-Man.
Yeah, the X-Man.
Yeah.
He had Charles Oakley. He had Anthony Mason. He had Patrick Ewing. He took him to a championship. They were winning. That was really the last time the Knicks were even relevant.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'm going to take out relevant. I'm going to say the last time the Knicks were good. Because the only reason why they're relevant now is because of Carmelo Anthony. And we're talking about New York here.
That's right. Because they're New York. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So I'd rather watch college basketball, and that's what I'm watching right now.
Yeah, like I said, Jeff was, he was good, but yeah, I guess you're right. I think I forget that he was that era, the tail end eras of the Masons and the Oakleys and all those boys.
Larry Johnson's.
Was that Van Gundy, or was that not Lenny Wilkins?
That was Van Gundy, baby.
Okay. Yeah, but the squad that's out there now, that's Rutgers ball, baby.
And dude, they have talent.
Yes.
I mean, they really have a nice, as far as pieces, I'm not going to use the word team, because they're not a team, because it's just Carmelo, do what you want to do. But, yeah, on paper, they have players that can really formulate a team, and they could really contend for a championship. I mean, I really believe it's beyond just making the playoffs, because the Knicks are so bad right now. They can't even make the playoffs.
No, they're not even getting in the playoffs.
If they get a coaching staff, I mean, a dominant head coach, you know, like a high booty, what's his name? I can't tell you his name right now. What's high booty name?
Phil Jackson.
Like a Phil Jackson?
Yeah. Dude, they try to get Phil. Phil said, I'm not coaching y'all. Y'all garbage. Y'all garbage.
But if they were to get somebody like that, they can be, I think they can be great. But the question is Carmelo, is he a selfish player, or is he willing to make the transition into getting his teammates involved? From what I'm saying right now, the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's just completely selfish. Yeah, I think so. I think he is.
I mean, Duke can ball now. I mean, strictly one-on-one, the dude can go. There's not many people can stop him. He's like 6'9". He's really has a big statue.
Frame,
he can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can post. You know, I mean, he's pretty hard to stop, but that don't get the team to win because you didn't drop 50. Okay, that's fine. Still lost.
And you got to live with that. And I don't know that he's a leader.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the other part. I think when Jordan became a leader is when people was willing, you know, when he really, you know, brought that team together.
Yeah.
But a part of that, you know, people ain't willing to follow you unless they know you got everybody's best interest at heart. You know.
True that.
And so if I think that the only thing you care, you only talking cool to me because about you, I don't care about you then. But they, I think they do got some selfish players, though. You know, they got good pieces on paper, but I think they got a lot of selfish players. Because not only now, you got Carmelo, you got
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith,
he can ball.
He's selfish.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, is it a type of selfish play? Because I've been on little rec teams. Well, we have a selfish player, and my mindset is, well, shoot, next time I get the ball, I'm going to shoot it, because if I don't shoot it, I'm going to help him get the ball again. So is that his J.R. kind of is notorious for shooting. He is notorious for taking, you know, unnecessary shots in certain, you know, situation. So I'm not going to say it's like, well, Carmelo just shoots, so I'm going to go ahead and shoot too, because that really is who J.R. Smith is. He don't shoot the ball.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Most death. He had a beautiful pass yesterday, and that was one in a million.
Yeah.
He is a shooter. Yeah, I think he claims himself to be a shooter. But like I said, I was reading an article, and Woodson said he believed they're going to fire him. Well, they should. I mean, they should fire you. Because again, you know, even with selfish players, their team is better than what they're performing at.
Yeah.
I mean, they ain't even at 500, nowhere near 500. Heck, Washington Wizards broke 500 for the first time since. Now, this was an amazing stat. Washington Wizards broke 500 for the first time since 2009.
Wow.
Now, Big Drake, keep this in mind. That means they've never won the first game of the season.
Yeah.
It was the first time they've been above 500 since 2009. Yeah. That's saying a lot.
That's Before you said 2009, I was really thinking that you were going to say since Jordan was on the team.
No!
No. I really thought you were going to say that.
Since 2009. But even 4 years, I mean, that means every year you start out garbage. I mean, to not even break 500, I'm talking about no point in the season, it's pretty freaking hard, man.
And, you know, considering the NBA, what they played, what, 72 games?
82.
82 games. So, I mean, you have 82 chances. All you got to win is 41.
That's it. Half of these. Can't do it. Can't do it. 30 games, all you need is 15. Can't do it. Can't do it. Yeah. And these boys celebrated.
Two games. All you need is one. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
I blame that on the schedulers. Who scheduled these games? Why don't you schedule anybody? Sorry. Ain't nobody. So,
man.
It's horrible.
And, you know, John Wall is the truth, man.
Yeah.
He really is. But, you know,
I think they fit him around some other good pieces right now, too.
Yeah. So. You never know. I mean, you truly never know how a player is going to really excel when they make it pro, just because of the simple fact that two different styles of game.
That's right.
Because pro is more one-on-one, and college is so team-based, where, you know, even, like, I just was watching a Duke game. Jabari Parker, I think that's how you pronounce his first name.
That's right.
Yeah, he dropped like 30 points. And he wasn't just going one-on-one and shooting. It was a lot of fast break points. It was, you know, some posting up. But it's not like they were running set plays to him. It just kind of happened. And, you know, when you get to the pro, it's going to be like, okay, Parker, here's the ball. I need you to score now. You know, just get it. We need 2 points out you right now.
Right.
And a lot of college players can't transition into that. I mean, really think about who are the superstars in the league right now. You know, minus LeBron James, he didn't go to college. And think about what type of college player they were.
Yeah.
Were they really dominating, or were they just a good player on a good team? And I say, even when Dwayne Wade was in his heyday, before he got some bad knees, he went to Marquette. He was good, but he wasn't just like, oh, Dwayne Wade. But, you know, there was a stretch where Dwayne Wade was the premier player in the NBA.
Well, the player I'll say that was absolutely dominating in college was one we just got through referring to. That's Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, he was. Yes.
And
he was.
And so subsequently, he's taken that mindset to in the NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, man, is that not what we just talked about, though? When you, like I said, he's, like we was talking about, you know, James Winston. I mean, he came in, he dominated in as a freshman there. And so in his mindset, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
No. Ain't nobody else on my team. Do you not know I took my team as a freshman to the Final Four? No, they won a championship, didn't they?
Yes, they won.
I took my team to the championship as a freshman. Give me the ball, shut up, and get to the sideline and get ready to rebound. Oh, I'm not going to miss. Get ready to get back on defense.
Yeah. Really.
Because, again, but to your point, you just watched the Duke game. But understand this. Who's that coach? Coach K? Because guess what happened? I think it was week before last. Jabari's tail got benched during the game and for the next game, because he started having an NBA flash up, like he was already in the league, and he started one-on-one taking his team out. Duke was down, and Coach K set his best player for the rest of the game.
So, in a sense, what he did was he had the unwanted negative behavior, and in return, he gave a negative reinforcement by benching him to resolve the unwanted behavior.
Prior 2014.
I mean, it's amazing how that works. I mean, it's so simple, but it's amazing how that works. And, you know, people, coaches, And this thing, it works in every aspect of life.
Yep.
Dealing with your kids, dealing with your spouse, training an animal, no matter what your profession is, at work. I mean, it's just so simple, but people don't understand it. You know, at my job, they're notorious for having a problem employee, and instead of disciplining them, well, maybe we ought to move them to another division and give them rank, because maybe they, no, you idiot! You just gave a positive reinforcement for the negative behavior.
We have the same problem at my company.
They don't get it. I mean, it's so simple that it's kind of jarring that people don't understand it and don't utilize it.
But like you said, it worked. I mean, you can, even if you don't see how the stuff you should be doing works, do you not see the stuff you are doing, how it doesn't work?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, every person you see that gives positive reinforcement for negative behavior, it doesn't work. And that's one of the challenges I'm having right now with my oldest. Because I told him the other day, I'm like, you know, you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to play football, you know, you want to, he wanted to take something to school. But I'm like, dude, that comes off the heels of you sneaking and playing and taking the game out of my room and being up while I'm out of town playing it at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this sneaking on the heels of you creeping downstairs to get on the computer. This on the heels of you taking the tablet to school without getting permission.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't reward you. I can't let you do the stuff you want to do because of the stuff that you try to do that's against that. I refuse to reward your negative behavior with positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
You're not going to break me down. I'm sorry. You do something negative, guess what? You get a negative consequence.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, yeah. I'm sorry. I understand prior 2014, I won't do it.
There you go, boy. Yes, sir.
Living this in our house. So, man, let me tell you something. So, in the NO, next week, or week after next, I think it's next week, the NBA All-Star Game is coming up. And so, once again, they are trying to breathe life into the All-Star Slam Dunk Competition. Same Slam Dunk competition that LeBron James is scared to get in.
And wasn't it last year or the year before where he announced, mark my words right now, because he was at the Slam Dunk Competition. He was like, mark my words, next year I'm in it.
Yep. That was like 2 years ago. Still ain't seen him yet. Still ain't seen him yet.
Okay.
He's scared. I think he's scared. So they're looking. Hold on. Well, before I get to Slam Dunk, speaking right off of the heels of the negative actions with negative reinforcement, or negative actions with positive reinforcement. Is that not what the Cavs did when rehiring their coach that couldn't cut it as their coach, went to the Lakers, couldn't cut it as their coach? So the Cavaliers decided to give him another shot at coaching their team. I mean,
yeah.
He, as in the words of Meta World Peace, he's a stat guy.
You know what? When he went to the Lakers, even though they won a championship, I'm going to call him Ron Artest. Ron Artest, I think he changed his playing style in order to mesh well with Kobe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the young cats, they don't know Ron Artest. Ron Artest was a beast. He dropping 30, getting 10, 15 rebounds. He locking whoever he's sticking on D. They ain't getting no points.
All in the same game.
Yeah. And he going to swing on somebody.
Yeah, all in the same game.
He went to the Lakers. Now we're talking about somebody that averages 5 points.
Right.
I mean, big drastic. But when you have that caliber of player refer to the head coach as a statistician, not even a statistician, a stat guy.
Yeah, he's a stat guy.
That's bad, man. That's bad.
And so the Cavaliers, I've never seen anybody, I don't think I've ever seen anybody retread their own coaches. unless a coach quits or retires, and he you convince him to come back. Like like a George Gibbs with the Joe Gibbs with the Redskins.
And they did that with Kansas State, that old dude that you think gonna die.
Yeah, that's gonna die at any time. They went to the nursing home and got him out and put him back on life support and brought him on the football field.
Yeah.
Who we also Auburn opens up a Thursday night game, and I'm a little nervous about that. But
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
It's out there too.
I called it last year, 8 or 9 games, and I know this is very premature, but I'm calling undefeated or one loss next year.
Undefeated or one loss?
Yeah. Yeah. Kansas State gonna get it.
I'm calling, I think we'll get it to them. I'm calling 2 losses next year. 2 losses.
Okay.
And that's bad because I really think our quarterback is gonna really come into his own. I think we are going to struggle with finding the Trey workhorse that in the end of the game, somebody we could just get a ball to 30 times and we straight.
We got him, dog.
I know we got great backs. I know we got
Cameron Artis Payne. Cameron Artis Payne. He is going to be our Trey Mason.
He's going to be the next Rudy Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. It's definitely there. I just have to wonder, do they know something that we don't know, the reason why he did touch the ball the whole second half of the season, other than the fact it can't just be Trey Mason. Yeah, but man.
When Trey Mason needed a blow, they did put him in, and you know, they
just went out of play to give him the ball, though.
the SEC championship game, he had like a 30-yard run touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, he had one.
You opened up my eyes because I'm like, well, you know, this dude was fumbling a lot. But as the season progressed, you're like, well, you know, he probably got as many fumbles as Trey Mason. Yeah. And that was true. That was true. I give you that. But, you know, Trey Mason was a special running back. Okay, you know, I'm going to go back a little bit. How you were talking about the Evans kid whose father went to Auburn and, you know, how can he choose Alabama? Well, to give you a little history, the father played for Enterprise High School, and this was the era when Enterprise was like Hoover now.
Okay, they were
really good team, drilling cats. You know, he was the man. So he got signed the same time Bo Jackson got signed. We're talking about Bo Jackson,
right?
I mean, you're going to have to be so special to play over Bo Jackson.
You got to be Jesus special.
Yeah, I mean, we won't even know who Bo Jackson is. He'll be Evans.
That's right.
Dude, you got to be so good, you got to be Evans.
Right.
So that's how great you have to be. And, of course, he didn't play because he was behind Bo Jackson.
Okay.
And, you know, he got a little salty, you know, he got a little salty attitude about it, which I understand.
So there's a little feelings there. See, ain't nobody.
Yeah. He ended up transferring from Auburn because he was getting absolutely no playing time. Because
he was behind Bo.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
So I'm not going to sit here and say I know all this information. There's a judge, Ripley County, that, you know, I had to do some paperwork with him, and if I gave him some paperwork on signing over his house and all his finances to me, he probably would sign it, because I get in there and all he wants to talk to me about is football and everything. I mean, he absolutely loves me. So anytime I need some paperwork signed, I make sure I go to that judge. After he signed the paperwork I needed him to sign, I literally sat in his office for 45 minutes, and all we did was talk Auburn football.
Wow.
And he enlightened me, because he's a graduate of Auburn, and he enlightened me about that history that I just shared.
Okay.
And he went to the national championship game, and he ended up running into one of our fraternity brothers, Tyrone Dillard, and actually took a picture with him, and it was after the game, after we had lost.
Uh-huh.
It just so happened Tyrone Dillard and him His name is Judge Walker.
Okay.
Went to a store. There's only two guys in there wearing orange and blue. They strike up a conversation. Come to find out, you know, Tyrone played at Auburn. He currently lives in Auburn as a judge.
Right.
Of course, my name came up. They end up taking a family picture with Tyrone in the picture, and they texted to me. I mean, it's just amazing how it's a small world. And how Auburn, no matter where you are, even after a loss, we see somebody wearing an orange and blue, we're going to say hey and get to know them and, right. and take a family right. portrait with right. them.
Let me get a picture, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So once Judge Walker enlightened me about the history with the Evans guy, you know, it wasn't such a shock. I mean, gotcha. You know what I mean? Like, okay, somebody, and it's amazing how long people can hold grudges. You know, how long ago was it that you were at Auburn?
That's right.
How long ago was it that Bo was there?
Right.
I mean, you have to let some stuff go. But, you know, some people can't.
And you know what? And I think, and again, I don't think he's above this. I think Saban personally went after that kid, not because he needed him, but to kind of rub that one in our face.
I can 100% see that.
I mean, because I think he did the same thing with the linebacker last year that had the Auburn tattoo.
Yes.
I think when that kid got that tattoo, he made it his personal business that whatever go on hell or high water, this kid will sign with me.
Yes.
And I think it was the same way. Oh, they going to beat me? Oh, they going to – because we ran the state. We signed the most – the we won the state of Alabama's recruiting. All right. Now, Saban them signed players from 14 different states, and we got five. But still, we won Alabama.
Yeah.
And I think he took that as a personal vendetta that I'm going to make sure that this kid not only signs with me, but I want them to think they really got him. And then, and the things that kind of make me wonder. Now, our coaches didn't say nothing, and they would never say nothing because they're too much men of integrity. But you know, they're talking about, I don't know if you've seen it, but there was a webpage that was created with that show.
Uh-huh.
This kid, Big Dre, I don't think it's out of the realm that this kid said something to them, which is the reason why they had the webpage created.
Yeah.
And that was all a part of Satan's plan to try to embarrass us because we put that wood to it.
Because we embarrassed him.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But you know what? The great thing about recruiting and the game of football is championship games ain't won in recruiting, baby. They won on the field. So you still got to see us, baby. You still got to see. Anyway, I digress. So all of that Cleveland fired their general manager. It feels good, though, that a white person got fired instead of a black person first. But nonetheless, they suck. And I was thinking about this. You know, in the last 4 years, Cleveland has had two of the number one draft picks.
So what?
In the last 4 years, Cleveland has had two number one draft picks.
That's horrible, dude. That's not something that you strive for.
Kyrie Irving was the number one draft pick, and the kid that does not play right now was the number one draft pick. They've had the number one pick twice, and you're horrible.
Yeah, didn't they bench this dude or?
Yeah, he only played.
Or something because he was only averaging like 5 points a game?
Yeah, he's garbage. He's hot garbage. And they picked him number one.
Do you remember what school he came from? Because, you know, this is the thing that gets me with NBA and bad organizations. And you know what? Come to find out, Cleveland, are you from Cleveland? Hey, this is the Made Men Radio Show. We tell it like it is.
Shoot some head.
Cleveland may be just a bad city. Because look at the Indians.
That's right.
Look at the Browns.
That's right.
Look at the Cavaliers.
That's right.
Now,
I don't know if they got a hockey team or not, but if they do, I'm sure they suck. Hey, let's not say Cleveland. Yeah, Ohio State. Ain't Ohio State close to Cleveland?
I don't know. But, you know, my point is, it's probably more so notorious with basketball than it is in football. We're going to draft Prentice Gilbert because he played at Wetumpka Tech. but he's 17 years old, and he's 6'9", and he has a great upside to him.
Yes.
His potential is through the roof. So, okay, you're going to draft Prentice Gilbert, who's 6'9", 17, who has great upside potential, but instead of taking Johnny Thompson, who's 6'6", but starts at Duke or North Carolina or Kansas, who's averaging 30 points a game, who is averaging 10 points a game, 5 assists, who shows you day in and day out that he can play. That dude don't get drafted until the second round, because there's only 2 rounds in the NBA draft. Yeah. He don't get drafted until the second round, or he may have to sign as a free agent. But they're going to take old Dum Dum from Kosovo, who can't even say hello in English because he got good upside. I mean, dude, that drives me with NBA. And 9 times out of 10, that guy who has the potential and upside, he never pans out.
Nope.
He never pans out.
They drafted him ahead of Davis that went down to New Orleans.
Yeah.
This kid ain't even playing. Davis averaging a double-digit rebounds. Actually, I think he may be averaging a double-double. If not, he's right up under it and leading the league in blocks.
Yes, he's an all-star. He's an all-star.
Just been picked as
And the guy that you drafted number one ain't playing?
Nope. Averaging 4 points a game.
Okay.
Great job, Cleveland.
But honestly, you're good at what you do. No, you're not.
Yeah. Hey, Cleveland, I mean this as nice and as Christian-like as I can. Go key yourself.
Jump off a bridge.
Y'all suck. Hear me now. I can't say it nice. I'm sorry. Y'all suck. Bad organization. All right. So anyway, now back to the NBA. So the dunk contest, they're trying to bring life back to the dunk contest since they can't get anybody any real people to play in it or participate. So let me enlighten Made Men listeners to the new format of the slam dunk competition next Saturday. So it's 6 contestants. 3 from the Eastern Conference and 3 from the Western Conference. They will start out the first round with the 90-second kind of open dunks. All right, freestyle is what they're calling it. And they're going to do these by division, by conference. So the Eastern Conference is a team and the Western Conference is a team. So the Eastern Conference team, all 3 guys on the court at the same time got 90 seconds to kind of do their thing.
Freestyle. Not right there. That's retarded. Stop right there. That's retarded.
They can assist each other or whatever, but they out there together. They got 90 seconds
team.
To do their thing.
Their team.
Yeah, their team. The dunk team of the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
And then the Western Conference will go. And so the first order, the judges will judge which team performed best. That'll decide who goes first in the next round. All right, so the winner gets to pick whether they dunk first or second. So in the next round, the team is going to divide up, and they'll play one-on-one. So the 3 members of the East, they'll take on one of the members. So they'll pair them up. So it's East versus West. And at the end of the night, the judges vote for which team wins. And all 3 of the members of the team are slam dunk contest champions. Hold on. Okay. So, no, I missed that. So when they pair them up, the team that wins, so the judges will vote on the two dunkers. So you got an Eastern Conference guy and a West Conference guy taking on each other. And then the judges vote, oh, he was better than he was. The team that wins 3 matchups will be crowned the slam dunk contest champions, the whole team now. Then the fans will vote on the dunker of the night.
Oh, my goodness,
via text message, Twitter, and NBA.com. That's your 2014 slam dunk competition.
Excuse my language again? That's ridiculous. And you know what? I remember one time, this is when, I don't know if, I'm pretty sure you do, but I don't know if some of our listeners remember Stephen Francis.
Yes, sir. The franchise.
Yeah, he was the truth, and he entered a slam dunk contest. This is when your top guys actually entered them. And, you know, as always, like what you're describing, they tried to come up with something new. And they came up with previous dunks from the old school, like when Jordan did the windmill.
Yeah, they like had, when, I remember that year.
Like when Dr. J was, you know, did the half from the free throw line and all that stuff. And they made like this Wheel of Fortune style spin wheel.
Stupidest thing.
And you had to spin the wheel
to see what you
and whatever doing. Dunk came up, that's what dunk you had to do. Well, Stevie Francis had to do a dunk that was a one-handed dunk, and it was geared toward him palming the ball. Well, he was like, I can't palm the ball. You know, yes, I'm a professional basketball player, but I have small hands. I'm 6'1".
Yeah,
I can't palm the ball. And obviously, he literally couldn't do the dunk. He dunked the ball, but he couldn't do that specific dunk. And, you know, I remember this like it was clear as yesterday, because we should be hanging out with Charles Barkley, and somehow we need to get Charles Barkley on this show, because he was on the sound, you know, TNT always covers the sound. And he was just like, whoever came up with this idea needs to be fired. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I can't wait just to hear Charles commentate next week.
Yeah.
They may not put Charles on next week because of what Charles may say about this. Because this is the stupidest format I've ever seen, bro. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. So there will be three slam dunk champions from whichever division. And then we're going to decide who the dunker of the night is. So, I mean, it's stupid. I don't understand it. I'm not participating in these shenanigans. I'm so not participating in these shenanigans. It's the dumbest thing ever, man. But, and look, listeners, tell us what you think.
Dude, you know what? It'd be so funny if, because it's a team thing, and somebody may be selfish if somebody's trying to go up and do their block. But because they're on the court and somebody go over there and reject them.
They're blocking.
Dude, I'd pay money to see that. I would pay money to see that.
Or just inconspicuously walk right up in front, walk right in front of them as they're taking off.
Yeah.
My bad, dog. I ain't even see you, bro. I mean, the court's tight, bro. Court's tight. So, listeners, if you're listening, please let us know what you think about these new rules. And then next week, after you watch it, please let us know what you thought about the slam dunk contest. You know, you can hit me up, Kingpin, at MadeManRadio.com. You can hit Big Drake up at Big Drake at MadeManRadio.com, man. Tell us what you think, man. Big Drake, another great show, man. As we lock down, folks, we told y'all we hit 40 minutes of NBA. Y'all should be proud of us, whether you are or not. You should be. So
yeah. You need to thank us. That's what you should be doing.
Serious. We bringing it. We doing all of it. So but hey, look, we're going to try to – we're working our consistency. Now, again, next week we're probably going to be out of pocket because it's my middle child's birthday, so we're going to North Alabama so he can celebrate, and so we will not be back in town until probably that late Sunday or Monday.
Can you give me the date?
February 20th.
Dude, I'm so bad.
I so don't understand. I so don't understand.
And the last time I missed Dylan's birthday.
Yes.
And when you sent me the response, I mean, I really felt like an idiot. And this is going to help me remember from now on. You said, dude, it's exactly a week after your birthday. And I'm like, man, I feel like I can't speak right now. Exactly. You know, I love your kids, man. I love your kids like they my kids. You know what I mean? I love your kids.
It's exactly 1 week.
Yeah, you're like,
my kids,
exactly.
There's the 17th, 19th, 20th. November,
oh, wow.
December, February. We skipped January, you know, but November, December, February. It's 17th,
that might
19th,
help.
20th.
So November, Dylan.
Yep.
December,
19th,
Tony.
It's Tony. February,
and,
20th.
And February, 20th.
Zach. Yep. Because my 17th. Kids never get to have birthday parties, you know, when it's warm.
Yeah, 17th,
19th,
18th, no, 19th,
18th, and 20th.
Okay, 17, 19, 20.
Yep. I said, Dylan was a week after you.
yes. But, you know, I can remember because, you know, obviously I remember it now. So I'm like, oh, man, that kind of hurt my feelings. Not that you said it. It hurt my feelings that I didn't remember. And, you know, I'm his godchild. I'm both of your kids' godchild. I'm like, I'm awesome at what I do. Man, I ought to go wash my mouth out with buckshots right now. But okay, this is going to help me do it. Obviously, I got Dylan's birthday exactly a week after mine.
Yeah.
But I can do when was Zeta Phi Beta for,
right.
founded?
That's right.
1920.
That's it. That's the other two.
December, February.
Yep.
Yeah.
You felt like I felt for years I could not remember my mama's birthday. For years.
Until your mama's birthday.
I could not remember my mama's birthday. I knew my mom was born in September. But I always got confused. Well, it was the 17th, the 19th, the 14th. I could never remember. Until one day my mama said, baby, it's on the same date as yours.
Oh.
Mine May 19th, you September 19th. Okay. Bam. Had never forgotten since then. Just say, yeah. Oh, I don't know why I didn't think of that. Okay. And, you know, unfortunately, that was only 5 or 7 years ago when she had
it. Oh, wow, dude. That's hilarious.
I was grown and could not remember my mama's birthday.
You was a grown man with kids.
Yeah. She was like, man, it's on the same date yours is. Oh, mine, May 19th, September 19th. Oh, okay, mama. I could not remember, brother.
Oh, that's so now, I've been very fortunate. You know, I remember my mom, April 6th. My dad's June 24th. My brother is January 6th.
Now,
and, of course, my wife is February 10th.
Yeah. I mean, I got my kids. I know my wife.
And now I know Dylan is November 17th.
Yeah. Know my wife. I know mamas. My grandparents are easy. My grandparents are January 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah, that is easy. Because, see, my grandmothers, you know, my dad's mother and my mom's mother were exactly one day apart. Granny Sandy, who I call her, is my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. She's now passed, but hers was November 1st.
Okay, so when your birthday month hit, it was her birthday.
Yes, and then my mom's mom, her name is Hilda, but we call her Mama. You know that. We call her Mama. She's November 2nd.
Oh, okay.
So, but this is November. Okay, you have both my grandmothers, November 1st and November 2nd. You have my grandmother's sister, Auntie Lavinia,
okay.
Who's November 4th. Also on November 4th, you have my mom's cousin, which is, she christened me. She's my godmother. And a lot of people don't know this, but my first year of birth, this is weird. Why it happened, I don't know. It was old people. My parents were pregnant with me. Well, my mom was pregnant with me in St. Louis. Of course, they're from New Orleans. Well, my dad's from Alabama, but my mom's from New Orleans. So when she had me in New Orleans. But since they lived, it's crazy, I know, but since they lived in St. Louis, naturally, they were going to go back up to St. Louis. Well, I was born in November. What's going on in St. Louis? Snow, winter. And my family had a fit like there isn't a million people and kids being born in St. Louis every day.
It wasn't your grandma. I guarantee you, it was my mom. You're not taking that boy to St. Louis in the
in that cold weather.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
So I actually lived with my mom's cousin, who is, her name is Renee, but she is my godmother in the New Orleans. Because I say it to people down here, and they look at me like I'm crazy. You refer to your godmother as your nanny.
Okay.
And you refer to your godfather as your parrain.
Okay.
I don't know where it comes from. Hmm. But she is my nanny. And my first year and a half to 2 years of my life, I spent with her. So she is on November 4th. the same day as Onto the Vineyard.
Okay.
Then, of course, I'm on the 10th. My nanny's son is on the 14th. My parain is on the 15th. Dylan is on the 17th. And there's some more people in there I can't remember. That's in November. November is a really hectic birthday month for me.
The thing that we really should take from this is you can remember all of them, but not your godson. That's really
what. Why you gonna do me like that, Kingpin? Wow. But I remember it now.
Yeah,
I wish tomorrow was November 17th, and I'll show you what I did.
Oh, boy, man.
Hey, you know what? I even, my dog, which you've met, but, it, you know, for the listeners, I have a German Shepherd that, you know, she is the greatest dog on earth.
Yeah, Sam's a good dog. She liked to sniff in between my legs too much, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, I even know her birthday. She was December 6th.
Oh, boy.
Dylan is November 17th. November 17th. I got that. I got it.
Oh, Big Drake, any final words for our listeners, man?
Of course. Peace, War Eagle, keep the faith. I do want to, I believe I sent it to you, and I want you to post it up on the website. And maybe when you can get your wife to kind of manage our Facebook page, because I'm not going to do it, and you're not going to do it. maybe she can do it. Post up the East Alabama Predators football schedule coming up. It starts in May, and I have that. Did I text it to you?
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Yeah, so go ahead and post that. And the games will be like $5 a game. Okay. We're really trying to get the community involved and let it be a community thing since your professional and your collegiate football seasons will be over by this time.
That's right.
So we want people to come out and just support us. We're going to do community service. We're going to visit children's hospitals and schools. We want this to be a community organization. That is the East Alabama Predators. You can. We are members of the GDFL. That's the Gridiron Developmental Football League. You can go to gdfl.org. There are about 40 teams in the league.
Wow.
And we are in, oh, goodness, you can chalk this over to me, too. We are in the Extreme Conference, I want to say.
Okay.
They are, like I said, there are 40 teams around the country, and there are multiple conferences, but we are in the Extreme Conference, and you can click on us, East Alabama Predators.
Right.
Also, like you've heard me say before, prior to 2014, I told you it's up and jumping because this is 2014. You can listen to me this upcoming Monday, February 10th, which is my beautiful wife's birthday. I will be on the Kim Power Stilson Show, which is channel 143 on the XM series, or I guess it's Sirius XM radio.
Okay.
Yes, 143, and it is the BYU channel, pretty much. But I will be discussing the prior program and discussing the ins and outs of it. So many of you listeners who's always wondered, and some of you who actually called me and inquired about it, and I'm like, I just can't tell you right now. Well, it will be unveiled on this radio show, and come June will be our launch date, and I will give you more particulars as they come. And if you have any questions, feel free to call me. I will answer them since I have some things in the process of being copyrighted and trademarked and LLCs and so forth. But, you know, God has been good to me. God has been good, and I thank him for his many blessings. And if that, no matter what it is, if there's any way I can help you with whatever going on in your life, or just give me a call. If I don't have the answer, I'll be more than willing to find the answer for you. And you know what?
Yes, sir.
We as a, and I know I'm rambling, Kingpin.
Oh, no, you're good.
We as we as people, we need to really embrace forgiveness.
Yes.
No matter what has gone on between, you know, you and someone in particular, we have to be able to forgive and let go and truly have a cleansed heart. Not where I'm going to be kind to them while other people are around. Or I'm not going to say nothing to her since we're in the office. Now, I'm not saying be a fool, but I am saying if somebody has wholeheartedly come to you and apologized to you for something that they may have done, we need to learn to forgive. Forgive and move forward, because life, as we discussed earlier, we lost a brother at 32
years old.
At 32, we lost someone unexpectedly. And life is just too short to hold grudges and not to move forward and have a clean heart.
And forgive not for them, for you.
So what now?
I'm saying it's not for them, it's for you.
Yes, for you.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
Not about them. Forgive for you to allow yourself to move forward, man. And you know, just kind of really to piggyback off what Big Drake said. So this week, as we were putting Biggie, saying our final respects to Biggie, you know, God was really dealing with me and speaking to me, because I heard several people, one of my brothers, even say, man, I walk past these average old or low down dirty dudes all the time, and sorry cats, this, that, and other. Like, man, you know, why did he take Biggie? Biggie was such a good dude. Why did he take Biggie? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? The Lord spoke to me and said, the question shouldn't be, why did I take Biggie? The question should be, why did I leave you? And so, my listeners, I got to leave you out. Every single one of us knows somebody that we feel like time got cut short, or they did not have, they did not live life out, or they died too early, or they were a great person, that the world just isn't as good of a place without them here. All of us have people like that we know of, that were personal, that were close to us. And we've asked that question, God, why take them? And I just have to tell you, God wants to ask you the question, why did I leave you? What is it that I have for you to do? Biggie's gone from us. His work is complete, and the Lord saw fit to take him home. But he left me and you. Why? What's left for us to do? What did God not feel good enough about taking us right now? What is left? What has he been calling you to do? What has he positioned you for? What has he placed in your heart? What has he placed in your spirit? What are people continuing to pour into you that you refuse to just get it? What do you know of how you're falling short at pleasing him and you just don't get it? Why did he leave you? Why? I think if we all search deep and ask ourselves that answer, we would have and be willing to seek out and seek after that, we would see and have a much, much, much more fulfilling and rewarding life. Because then we would truly be about our Father's business. So that's a challenge for each and every one of us. Figure out why God left you. What is it he wants of you? How will you know when your work is done? And will he be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I'm going to make you ruler over many. I'm going to leave you with a track from Ty Tribbett. It's called Keep Me. And my prayer for each and every one of you is that God will keep you in perfect peace, and that you will daily seek to strive after him and to please him in all that you do. Hey, it's the Made Man Radio Show, man. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love every minute we get a chance to spend with you, man. Keep telling people about the show. Keep passing the word. I know it's sporadic right now, but when we do send you the email or the text, pass it on to somebody else, man. Tell them the boys is back on. Go on, listen to them, man. And hey, hit us up with your comments. Hit us up with the stuff you want us to share on the show, man. We'll definitely put it on, man. You can hit me up at kingpin@mademanradio.com. You can hit Big Drake up at bigdrake@mademanradio.com. Man, keep us prayed up. We'll keep you prayed up, man. Two fingers in the air. Deuces.
Peace.
listen. In such a wrong. Such a wrong world. I don't see how we can ever do right as believers. So much trouble on every side. Good Lord, seems so easy. I do.